By the way, I'm watching you now on my Apple Watch. Nice pajama pants.
Yeah, I'm not wearing any pants.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, September 7, 2017, also known as the day the football season started, but there's a podcast for that. There's a podcast for this, too. Hi, Tristan. I'm Eric. We got Kyle the Monster Soppy researching Tyler Chatwood and other things, I think. Mike Robbie is producing, and Leo Howe making sure we behave, but we won't.
By the way, I'm watching you now on my Apple Watch. Nice pajama pants.
Yeah, I'm not wearing any pants. Weekend preview day for baseball.
Oh, he went there.
So, you know, not only is it NFL stuff, but lots of stuff for baseball, too. Big three-day weekend coming up, at least for us. We'll talk hitters and pitchers to watch, as well as common meals and closers and the usual fare. Who is left to steal bases? That's going to come up first in the buzz. Have you realized how incredibly consistent Billy Hamilton has been?
I have.
And that's good and bad, I might add.
Now it is.
He fractured his left thumb on a bunt attempt yesterday, going on the DL. I don't know why he's going on the DL. I mean, it's expanded rosters, so I don't see the point. But in his four full seasons, he has stolen 56, 57, 58, and 58 bases. That's pretty consistent.
Yeah, it is.
And now, he can't hit.
He would have had more if he kept playing, too. By the way, it's good that he's going on the DL. That rarely happens this month. That helps fantasy owners.
Exactly. That's what's kind of surprising me here. But I guess the only question that really matters is he can't play again, can he?
He could, but I mean, what's the timetable on this?
He fractured his thumb. How's he going to play in the next 3 weeks unless they just let him pinch run?
It's a cast for 10 days, so yeah, there's the possibility he comes in and never holds the bat in the final games, but I'm not counting on it. But the point is, if he's on the DL in your dynasty leagues, that doesn't bottle you up in terms of roster spots.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, we could think about the roster angle here, but in a redraft league, I'm just dropping him, right? I mean, first of all, he is, I guess he's a two-category guy because he did score 82 runs a season, but he's never going to hit, right? I mean, he has a sub-300 on base again. It's a low OPS. There's no power. He's just a stolen base guy. He's a great defender, don't get us wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, he might win a gold glove. Lots of diving catches. But this is what he is, and he's not. I don't think he's going to get better. So how do you rank him next year? Obviously, the one category he really provides is really great, he and D. Gordon. Mm-hmm. But they're not overall good hitters. They're not hitting – well, Gordon's better than Hamilton, frankly. But, I mean, is this a top 30 player to you just because of the stolen base impact? I can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, no, he's not top 30 overall, but the player rater numbers are always going to inflate him up there, and the scarcity of stolen bases can you can build the foundation of a case here, and I don't want to do it. I want to put him closer to 50, and even then, I really would rather not make the investment. I actually find that Hamilton is the target for me only in the auction leagues and not in drafts because I have more control over the entirety of the roster. If I want to put an investment in one stolen base guy for Hamilton, it's a lot easier to fill in the other gaps in a draft format where you're pacing it out. Not so easy to do. You take Hamilton in the fourth round, you kind of tie your hands.
I think it's worse to take Hamilton in the fourth round than a closer in the sixth or seventh. I mean, at least a closer, like, you know, some of these closers, two closers with 100 strikeouts already, they can help you there. Hamilton hurts your batting average, and with everybody hitting for power, that's one spot where you're getting nothing. Nothing. Four home runs, 37 runs batted in. I think he's more a liability.
The runs do help, though. He was going to be pretty close to 100 at the end of the year, so let's not discount that.
No, categories. But
yeah, and I think we as fantasy owners do often downplay the impact of a player's run score total, which in our mixed context, that goes into the whole playing time discussion.
I guess. I'm a little saddened because I thought that this was a guy who would get better, he would get on base. And last year he got on base a little bit better, but this is what he is, and that's okay for a lot of people because of
his
skills.
You know what he is? He's Vince Coleman minus the first three seasons.
All right.
I think that's what we're looking at for a career. It's a good career. It's not a superstar player.
Kyle, that's a V-I-N-C-E, because I know you weren't born yet when Vince Coleman was stealing
Vince,
all his
like
bases.
Vince Carter, right? Yeah, Coleman.
Something like that.
Vince Carter.
So let's talk about some stolen base guys here, because we do have a lot to get to on the weekend preview. Jose Peraza homered and stole a base yesterday. That's a common one. We'll do other common ones later. But I don't know who's leading off for the Reds. Like, nobody else has led off for them. So I would assume, since they don't, it's weird, they have the preeminent on-base guy in baseball, and they have arguably the worst leadoff hitter for on-base in baseball.
You can't lead off Joey Votto, though, so we're not going there.
No, there's no shot they would do that. But Peraza probably will. So is Peraza a guy you want? Are you interested in him? Or is he looks like he's even worse than Hamilton.
Yeah, but lately he's been picking up the play. Now, in terms of the lineup construction, of the 12 starts that Billy Hamilton did not have in that leadoff spot, Peraza had 9 of them. They were a ways back, but let's see if we can get the exact split on him. Lately he's got August 1st.
Yeah, but doesn't matter. August I don't even 1st. Care what he's done in the last
289, 365.
All right. So he's been better of late. I thought he'd be a bigger base stealer. I thought he'd just be better than this. He walked in the minors, didn't he? But
yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, he's a very free swinger, but if he's showing a little bit more patience like he has over, I'd say, the past 6 weeks, that's what's catching my eye a bit here. I mean, he's an interesting pickup. He's available in, let's see, a little over 70% of leagues, 72%.
All right, so Peraza's kind of underwhelming to me. Here are some other players that I mentioned that have been stealing bases in my blog entry, have been stealing bases over the past month or so. Obviously, Cameron Maybin's been homering. He has 3 homers in 4 days for Houston, and he's got 30 steals in the season. See if he's available in your league. Probably is. Kevin Kiermaier, Jose Reyes, Freddie Galvis, Delino DeShields, Yolmer Sanchez. Any of those guys interest you?
Yeah, Maybin was a real good call here. He's 87% available. That's a pretty good number of leagues. Delino DeShields is the one who catches my eye, performing very well lately and remarkably available in more than 80% of ESPN leagues.
And doesn't look like Texas is calling up Willie Calhoun or Jerkson Profar or anybody at this point, which is a little bit odd because they could probably help them, but that means more playing fine for DeShields. Wait, are you stealing signs from me, Tristan? Because I'm going to put you in the corner here.
I still got the watch on.
Don't steal any signs.
I see that cheesesteak waiting for you after this show. How dare you not share?
These unwritten rules in baseball are mind-boggling.
And the A's thing, too. Oh, man. Oh, I'm looking back at you.
This is
giving
ridiculous.
You that side eye.
I'm changing my signs. I've got a sign for you. How about that? All right. Before we get to all this fun stuff and the sound and all that, is there anything in the last 2 days that you think is important to discuss? Somebody changing their value, a pitcher. Obviously, I mean, Lance McCullers pitched last night. I think that's overrated. I just don't think he's that good now. He can't go deep enough into games. Like, if I said to you, Lance McCullers or Doug Fister for the final 3 weeks, you got to say Fister now.
Why do I got to say Fister?
Because that's the right answer. Lance McCullers looks bad, and he doesn't go deep into games. And look, Doug Fister, look, is he a thing now? 1.50 ERA in his past 4 starts, and against some offenses here, Cleveland, Yankees, Toronto, and strikeouts. Was he 9 strikeouts last night? I don't like him any more than you do, but I mean, I don't want to just pretend this isn't happening.
Yeah, no, that's and you know me. A month ago, that version of me would say you're out of your mind here. But the strikeouts are catching my eye. I don't know how legitimate they are, just based on the nature of his game over the course of his career. But that's the big takeaway here. I think you're right. I think it probably is Fister ahead of McCullers. But I don't want to completely dismiss what McCullers could accomplish for fantasy owners.
All right, Kyle, let's give you 30 seconds here. Tyler Chatwood versus Doug Fister. I'm going to go again.
No!
Chatwood for days. You got some road starts coming up. I'm thinking he's a playoff difference maker a little bit.
He couldn't even outscore Bartolo Colon.
Yeah, he didn't give up a run.
He pitched 3 innings.
Yeah, he didn't give up a run.
You really can't, like, neglect
is half
saying
full,
that.
Mr. Carabao.
He pitched 3 innings.
Do you really see there being fantasy value from the Rockies rotation? They are going out of their way to shuffle guys around. Do you see any?
I can't invest in any of them, including Chatwood. I understand his road outings, but
John Gray maybe when the matchup calls.
Not against Kershaw
so
tomorrow.
Much, yeah. I'll play him. Oh, I'll absolutely play him.
Wait, you're using John Gray?
Absolutely.
Why?
At the price point he is at, absolutely.
Well,
and
I'm
the
not talking
things
DFS.
He does. Well, I am talking DFS. Absolutely, because what he does best, fastball, slider, those are his most reliant
pitches. Are you worried about the Dodgers? Are you now using pitchers against them?
at least for now, if you are a fastball and slider-reliant pitcher, that is what the Dodgers are struggling against.
John Gray's getting lit in this game. Okay.
He might, but based on the recent returns, you've got to jump on this little orange juice glass.
I don't really
want to
recommend Doug Fister. Gerrit Cole, I mean, we'd much rather have him. Last four outings, very good. Gerrit Cole, top 20 starting pitcher next year. Is he back?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Sure. Enough durability compared to the other pitchers in that tier, I'd say.
All right. Let's move on to the combo meals.
Hey, it's a combo meal! Combo! Combo! It's a combo meal! Home run plus steal!
So, Kyle, tell me the truth. In the studio there, you danced like some like a tango or something,
oh
right?
Oh, my God. Hula hoops, everything. We got everything over here, like a little Hawaiian okay. flavor to it.
I mean, right. To be fair, all of us legitimately do a little dance every time.
We need video
who
on
doesn't?
That.
Who
we
doesn't?
Borrow this camera from the football one and show you guys
it's
dancing?
It's pointed right at Mike, so you would need Mike to...
That's spying. Oh, you're breaking the unwritten rules of the podcast.
Oh, I forgot. What's the unwritten rule here? No video?
Nope. You can't watch anybody dancing. Nuh-uh. We do it secretly.
I didn't. Okay, I didn't
close
know that.
Your
that's
eyes
it.
When you're doing
like
it.
You get a timeout. You have to go to the corner. I thought this one would be more exciting, but really, it's Peraza, Jackie Bradley Jr., and Mikey Matuk. Do we have anything to say here?
Matuk is playing baseball for them now because they don't have a lot of other players.
Tigers are a mess, and man, you can score a lot of runs on that pitching staff right now.
Name the five. Woohoo!
I can't. I mean, I don't even know if Annabelle's making his next outing. But, like, are you interested in their offense at all? Miguel Cabrera will be back this weekend. You know what they're saying? Nicholas Castellano is going to play right field, which leaves Heimer Candelero for third base.
That's an adventure.
What are your thoughts? Maybe it will be. Maybe it won't be. I mean,
like, you're going to use any of their pitchers anyway. Who cares what the defense is?
Well, the fact that Candelero is playing, I think, is interesting. He's going to be a regular player. And give me his – say he gets 500 at-bats next year at third base. Give me his numbers. People are interested in Heimer Candelero.
Yeah, I feel like he's a 20 to 25 maybe guy. No, I'll give him 20 homers. I don't want to go too aggressively on him. Probably gets an average in the 255, 260 range.
It sounds a lot like Castellano to me, like 20 to 25 and 260. Who would you rather have? It's got to be Castellano, right?
Yeah, but the reason for that is I think that Castellano's his style of play gives a higher ceiling of the two of them. But the final numbers could very well be right in the same spot.
Right, fair enough. Jackie Bradley just does not have the year he had last year. Let's hear some more sound. It's Closer Carousel.
The Closer Carousel.
Next save for your Yankees, it's going to be the lefty, right? You know, it's ridiculous what they're doing. Overreactive.
But what makes you think that? I mean,
Betances gives up a homer, and now he's out as closer. Angels are going to do the same thing with Blake Parker. It's like, here's the confidence I'm showing in my relief pitcher. If you give up a home run, that's it. You're out of the role. Meanwhile, like guys like Sungwan Oh get millions of chances. It's just, I don't understand the thinking on some of these. There's no reason. First of all, Chapman doesn't even have close to the strikeout numbers he's had in recent seasons. He's not the same pitcher. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's tired. I don't know. He pitched well into October. He pitched in November last year, didn't he? That game was on November 1st, or
yes,
was it on Halloween?
Yes.
Maybe he's tired. But they've got three reasonable closing options, and maybe even more. Maybe Canley, too. So to remove Betances from the role just reeks of like, well, that's why your team isn't hitting this week. He gave up a home. He gave up two home runs, so that must be it. Chapman is not fine.
The performance, though, in the ninth, which I told you I was surprised by, is he has contributed in part to that. And I'll say that the name we didn't mention is the one who probably should if you're going to make a change. And I'm not saying
Robertson should be
one.
Closing.
Exactly. Exactly.
But he's not even being considered anyway.
There's no question Robertson should be getting the next one ahead of Chapman if we're going away from Betances.
But it's going to be Chapman. That report was leaked yesterday. So if you're in a fantasy league and you need every last save, I don't know if Betances gets any more. It's just very weird.
All three are fantasy relevant names, but I think it's going to be maddening to determine which one gets the most saves the rest of the
year. And then there's the Angels where, you know, Bud Norris really could get the next save. He came off the DL yesterday. It sounds ridiculous, but yeah. I mean, Blake Parker's been fine. Then he gave up one home run, and that's all it takes for the panicking managers. We mentioned the Cardinals. Actually, Tyler Lyons did get the save last night. It was conventional, his first one. So maybe he's the closer moving ahead because was rested. He hasn't pitched in like 4 days. Juan Nicasio is now a Cardinal. He could be the setup guy for Lions.
Yes.
Interesting what happened
Good
there.
Good pickup.
Phillies just pick up a minor leaguer who's probably never going to matter. But
it's
you know,
a freebie for them, though. It was a good move by the Phillies and a good move by the Cardinals.
Absolutely. Royals, we think Kelvin Herrera is closing this weekend, right?
That's at least I'm planning that way, yeah.
Any other situations here that you think need to be discussed for closers, for saves? Anything?
I was just going through the closer list in my other league to try and pick up a guy and did not find an awful lot of premium options. I'm disappointed that Blake Trinan, since I even mentioned his name, has gone awfully quiet. Brad Hand needs to turn this around in his next outing. I don't want to see that become a little debate.
Trinan's given up runs in each of his last two outings. Hatcher got the save last night, which I wouldn't read too much into. Trinan had pitched the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. So I think Trinan is still the closer there. I wrote about my fantasy MVP among relief pitchers today. It's going to be tough to overseat this guy. There's only two relievers with more than 100 strikeouts. Each have the initial CK. One I buried in March, and I agree. Right. I admit I was wrong. The other I was all over in March, remember? And I have Corey Knebel on multiple teams.
Yep.
So I feel like they kind of balance each other out.
Two CKs, yes.
But right now, like if I had to do my relief rankings for next year, I'd go Jansen 1, Kimbrel 2, and Knebel 3 over Chapman. Would you agree with that?
Nope. Knebel is an outstanding pitcher.
He's the next Kimbrel.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Why?
See, I remember Kimbrel as being an epic all-time great closer year type pitcher for those three first years in Atlanta.
He was. He was fantastic.
That's raising the bar really, really high.
I mean, I just want to point out to you that Kimbrel's K rate right now is higher than it's ever been since that second year.
Oh, he's been fantastic.
And
I was completely wrong on that one.
Knebel's on his way to having not a whip like that, but a really good season. It's hard to ever expect anybody to do what Kimbrel's
He's done. Having the kind of performance that does put him up there for the number one spot, an all-time year. That's where I'm drawing the line against the Kimbrel numbers.
Yeah, I agree with that.
By the way, for one other topic, we should also mention Roberto Osuna and his three blown saves since mid-August.
Yeah, but there's no indication he's losing the job, right?
They did the little, you know, vote of confidence thing, so...
You know what's weird about the situation? Like, I'm looking at the player rater here for the top closers of the season, and some of them really haven't been very good. They're just piling on the saves. Like, Roberto Osuna, that's a high ERA, 3.66. Mm-hmm. Alex Colome, that's an ERA over 3 with a high whip for a closer, not a great K rate. They're like the number 4 and 5 guys for the season just because of the many saves. So it doesn't even matter that much what your ERA and whip is. I would say like for my top 5 next year, Knebel 3 right behind Kimbrel, Chapman probably 4. I think Kenny Giles would probably be my 5. Wade Davis would be in my top 10. I'm trying to think who else has to be in the top 10.
Marcelo Iglesias.
I guess Iglesias, he'll be there. Cody Allen's in there. He'll be in the top 10. I assume
really?
He'll be.
Really? That's okay.
Why wouldn't he be? He's clearly the closer, not Andrew Miller. You don't agree?
Well, it's not so much that. It's that I think he's had a good chunk of this year as their closer, and he's 20th
on
the player.
He's got 24 right saves. Well, he hasn't gotten every save. It's weird. You know, Cleveland hasn't had a lot of saves. That's
the Cody Allen problem is the fact that the whip has always been a little too high, and he is susceptible to those blow-up outings. And I always felt like his ceiling was like 8th at the position.
Cleveland, and I hadn't really thought about this, looks like that team, you know, there's a team or two every year that's really good but just doesn't produce a lot of saves.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland.
Well, that big win streak.
they're not getting saves.
98 Yanks.
Wow, look at this. There's only one team in baseball. I wish I'd written this in my blog today, which just got posted. Only one team in baseball has fewer save opportunities than Cleveland. They have only 38 save ops the entire season. The White Sox are the only team that's worse. That's because Cleveland scores so many runs, they're like last year's Cubs and Red Sox. They scored so many runs that there weren't any save ops for Kimbrel and what the Cubs had a closer. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening this year. If you own Cody Allen, you're thinking, oh, he's not getting that many saves. It's not really his fault. They're not blowing any saves. They have the fewest blown saves in baseball.
Did they grab the run differential lead?
I think they did because the Dodgers are just getting lit up here. But
yeah, 190, they took over from the Dodgers.
Interesting. Texas, not a lot of saves because when they win games by a lot. And then the teams with the most saves, there's some bad teams up there. Like Toronto is 3rd in save ops. San Diego is tied for 6th in save ops this season. And, of course, they're not a good team. So save ops really rarely correspond here to one-loss record.
Yeah, the only problem I have with save ops is the status that that count some,
some
of the
are seventh,
seventh
and eighth
ones?
Innings. Yes, I'll
yeah,
give you
like
that.
I should take the little grid here and just splice out the ninth inning save ups and run
yeah.
I don't know. All it's right. It's too much work.
Let's take a look at the weekend preview now. Biggest series to me looks like Cubs Brewers. That's big, right? I mean,
yeah.
And the Brewers, I'm not saying they're running out of time because they could win the wild card. The Rockies are in full free fall here, mm-hmm. but interesting series. First game, Jimmy Nelson and John Lackey. That's kind of lacking there on the Cubs end, but I mean, Nelson's still having a good year. Chase Anderson Saturday against Mike Montgomery and yep. Zach Davies on Sunday against Kyle Hendricks. Brewers
they
keep throwing out these...
the rotation.
It's fine. The rotation from Milwaukee's doing fine.
No, but I mean, they put these guys into the series for a reason, and that is that they recognize the importance, and I think that's a nice big
statement.
They
need two out of three at least.
Right, but you just made a big confident statement about your three guys. You're going on the road to Wrigley Field. I think they're going to be bringing their A games. I know it's a tricky matchup, but I'm on board with these.
Zach Davies, by the way, still available in leagues. Last five starts, 1.11 ERA, according to Kyle, and did not allow a home run in 39 and a third August innings. Wow. Interesting. Okay.
Hmm.
How about that?
Yes.
Let's talk hitters in this series that we're watching. Anybody of interest here that you might want to pick up, you might want to drop, batting order stuff? I mean, Brewers top of the lineup. What happens with Neil Walker? I mean, are we still talking about Schwarber hitting 201? I don't think we should be. Anything interesting here?
Yeah, Schwarber's picked up the pace, so that bothers me a little less. The other thing, too, is you always want to use him against the right-handed pitchers. So going against these three, despite my positivity about those Brewers starters, I'm still going to throw some of those Cubs lefties into my lineups. This is sort of that going contrarian against myself.
Picked
Schwarber belongs
pace.
In there. Ian Happ could potentially.
Batting 230 in the last month. With 30 strikeouts, to K rate,
I don't. 40%. It's not all about batting average for me. It's
well, it can't be if you want to own him. But he has been hitting for some power. I'll give you that.
He's been very improved since the first couple of months of the year. Very improved to the point you can use him.
I don't know if there's anybody on this show we've wasted more time on this season than him.
Schwarber?
Yeah. You tell me. Anyone else chime in?
Kyle Glover.
Who have we wasted more time?
Ouch.
Oh, Chatwood. Porcello and Chatwood. Let's rank our top five most.
Porcello.
Porcello
yes.
and Chatwood Porcello, at the top. That's all on you.
Porcello's at the top.
But was Porcello a waste of time?
Yeah, because yes. we talk about him every time he starts.
Yeah, and every time he
Schwarber's
was bad, he's
definitely on that
way.
List.
Yeah,
we need
with,
to get
I
an independent ruler here.
I mean, do we have a guy with batting 201.
Where's Leo when we need him?
He's there.
Break the tie.
Any Rays?
We don't need to talk about any Rays. I would say Miguel Cabrera is definitely on this list.
Yes,
too.
And Tristan. Ooh. Tristan's going to wait until October 1st when he still doesn't hit. And then he's going to say, wow, look at those awful numbers. I've been telling you this for months.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this. Where's he in your rankings?
Well, I haven't updated them in
no,
a while.
No, no, no. Where you rank right now? Where is he?
Out.
Out of the top 300.
No, but he's nowhere near my top 10 first baseman for the rest for the final 3 weeks.
He hasn't been near mine in weeks.
All right,
Robot Tristan speaks.
We've been glossing over the fact that Miguel Cabrera is the number 40 first baseman on the player radar this season. He hasn't got going at all. I'm not saying he won't get going again next year. He's clearly hurt. Okay. But what a disaster. I mean, you'd give me any first baseman right now. Logan Morrison, Reese Hoskins, even Tommy Joseph for the final 3 weeks playing sporadically. Cabrera hasn't hit.
I'm going to remind that we have not at all glossed it over at all. We brought it up because we were discussing the criticism of him. And I said that the only reason that you could throw trust his way is the track record. That's it. That's the only thing I got. And with that team and the state it's in,
That's a case where track record means nothing because he's clearly hurt and it's been 5 months of nothing. I mean, him and Schwarber, it's not going to get better these final 3 weeks.
Schwarber,
next year, maybe.
Schwarber's going to get better compared to what he started this year as. The yearly paces, they'll get better. I'll sign up for that one.
Cabrera,
no.
Other series to watch this weekend. Well, how about Leo's Rays at Boston? Archer and Pomerantz is the Friday matchup. And that's interesting, Tristan, because Archer, what, he missed an outing? He
had a forearm issue, but he did have a throwing session and went successfully, and they've thrown him into the Friday game with confidence. That's a big plus.
Do you have confidence?
I do, if they're going to say that. He's still got the skills
to overcome
this matchup. The other thing, too, is he has pitched very good games in Boston before. That matchup doesn't scare me.
Saturday, Matt Andrees and Chris Sale. Are you worried about Sale? You would never consider sitting him.
Not for this matchup.
Lefty
K guys against the Rays, sign me up.
Sale against Cleveland has been the problem, right? Oh, look at this matchup. Let's waste more time. Jake Odorizzi, Rick Porcello. Odorizzi's last outing was good.
Well, that's probably Odorizzi. It could be Cobb if Cobb is healthy enough.
All right. But we're not banking on Odorizzi, are we?
No, if it's Odorizzi, he's in no way. If, I mean, Cobb coming off the finger issue, he's got like a cut in his finger that might need an extra day to heal. If Cobb throws this game, I feel like the Rays are off the board here. So do you start Porcello knowing that there's a question mark at starting pitcher for the Rays?
Baltimore, Cleveland. I'm done on Porcello. Kyle's right. Enough's enough. Jesus, he's going to allow 40 home runs this season.
And I'll tell you, he's going to be a value next year. Not a Cy Young candidate, but a value next year.
You're going to load your team up next year with Cabrera, Schwarber, Porcello, and going to wish you luck.
If you're leaving him out of your top 300, sure.
No, I'll rank those guys. It's just like not as well as you.
Where are you going to put Cabrera?
Off the top of my head, 75.
Okay, so that's probably going to be like 12
too high.
First baseman.
I guess 75. Kyle, where would you put Cabrera next year? Is he in your top 100?
Top 100, yeah, I think he's.
But barely, right?
I think you're in about the right spot. I'm in a 16-10 team or 6-player 10-team keeper league, and I'm considering not keeping him. So
yeah, I mean, first base is a deep position. Schwarber maybe like 190. I mean, Tristan,
maybe.
All he's going to do is hit home runs. He's not even going to do it with an average, with the RBI, with runs, nothing. That's his ceiling.
Yeah.
So I'm barely even a top 200 guy to me, and then
maybe even not a top 200.
I don't even know if he is. Like I don't. He's been so misjudged.
I think you think I like these guys more than I do. I don't. No, I don't.
Porcello, I
can't. What makes you think I do?
Because you keep talking about like them, like in a positive. Like Porcello, I how can we project an ERA better than 4 next year?
Sometimes it's a good idea to go against the grain with a pick.
All right.
Because nobody else is on board it. It's left out there. It's free. There's no cost to pick it up. Schwarber, if that's what he is in your league, there is absolutely value there. And at the same time, I'm saying 190, I guess I'll sign up with you on that. Maybe you like him more than me for next year.
I don't think I will. I can't imagine. Another series to watch, Baltimore-Cleveland. Orioles hanging on there. The Sunday night game is on ESPN at 8 p.m. And it is Dylan Bundy and Trevor Bauer, and they're both pitching very well recently, Tristan. Mm-hmm. Which one would you rather have?
I would rather have Bauer here, but that's just because of the matchup.
It's a lot of strikeouts, and he's got to be available in leagues, I would assume. So.
And that's the K-oriented matchup in Cleveland with the left-handed power bump that ballpark gives. I'm a little more scared by Bundy's matchup.
Bundy's been legit too, and he's a strikeout guy. So
start both by all means.
Let's go quickly here and see if we can find some individual starters. You trust Max Scherzer on Friday against Phillies? You have to, right?
You have to. Yep.
You have to.
I got two hitters for you.
Okay, let's hear them.
We got to stay on the Joe Panic hot streak.
Why? That was all Coors Field,
and it will continue this weekend.
Championship.
They play three games in Chicago against the worst pitching staff in baseball in a hitter-friendly ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, he gets Giolito on Friday. That's a righty. And then Saturday, it's James Shields. It's bad pitching, yes.
And David Holmberg.
Okay.
And they will have the DH, so the bats are guaranteed. Means Crawford. Nick Hundley could get some starts. And who's the other dude? The other lefty. Denard Span. Josh Reddick.
Okay. Why?
They get four games here. Also,
doubleheader Saturday.
Yeah, they've got Jarrell Cotton, Daniel Mengden, Daniel Gossett, the two Daniels start the doubleheader, and Kendall Graveman. So Reddick gets the big bump because he's got the platoon advantage in four games.
That's a good point. Doubleheader on Saturday. That's some below average pitching there that Oakland's going to be sending out. I liked Cotton back in March. He was good last year late, and then he hasn't been good this season.
A lot of them have disappointed. There is some talent on the A's, and they've all underperformed.
I'll give you that. Kyle, any hitters you'd like to mention this weekend?
I'm buying what Tristan was saying about the Giants. I get that it was a big series in Coors, but the matchups are too good. I've been doing work with Daily Notes, and I think that they're in for a big week, Span and Panic. I like them both.
Way to be original. Let's see. Justin Bour coming back from Miami. He could play Friday night against Mike Foltynewicz, who really isn't all that good. But there's a lefty in there, I think, this weekend.
Max Fried.
Yeah, he's a lefty, right?
Fried Fried.
You say tomato, I say tomato. Tanaka, that's a night game, so he's okay. Ridiculous.
What?
All right, so you mentioned Giants. All right, what about Matt Moore? he's facing the White Sox. Not exactly a great offense there. I mean, you control Yomer Sanchez and you're all set. So you tell me, Giants starters, Samardzija, it should be a good outing.
And Bumgarner Sunday. Ooh, yeah. Big surprise there. He'll have a good game. Yeah, you can sign me up for Moore. The only knock I'd have on Moore is that they threw his work schedule around based on the Bumgarner flu. But this matchup is too good to ignore.
Too good to ignore. And then Sunday, anything here? Wow, look at that. Odrysamer Despaigne. It's you know it's September when you start to see some of these pitching matchups. And you know what? That could be good for the hitters. Really could. But don't rely on these guys. Oh, Tyler Chatwood against Rich Hill.
Yeah, guess where that game's at.
I could be on the moon. I can't believe you in Tyler Chatwood.
That is a road start for Tyler Chatwood, and he's built up the pitch count. So, Kyle,
I am going to be obnoxious on Twitter if this goes my way.
And if Kyle was hiring, he would hire Tyler Chatwood. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Well, with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. And that's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. And find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel.
What's going on, guys?
Who's dancing?
Leo's snapping, so that's kind of, I think that's like clapping in jazz circles. So he's feeling the vibe.
It's a really good song. Like, I want to, like, get the Spotify playlist radio based on that and just listen to that all day.
I just heard the song again the other day, and I'm trying to remember where it was.
I'm thinking an elevator.
Another movie. It's been in a lot of movies.
Fair enough. I can't really help you there, but I can help you on Twitter questions. Gretchen notes that Christian Walker just won the PCL MVP, but has no clue who it is. Wants to know, wants to get a scouting report from you guys.
There's digging deep.
He's the former Oriole, right? Right-handed first baseman. Now he's in Arizona.
Yep.
He and another guy, the other Arcia guy, were both hitting really great for Reno. But there's
Oswaldo.
Yeah, there's nothing there, right? I mean, there's just... he's an older first baseman type. And now some of those guys eventually, like this was the year where some of those guys, you know, turned up and did stuff. But, I mean, Arizona's not putting him in the majors. What if Goldschmidt was really hurt and had to miss the last couple of weeks? I guess they could recall Walker and play him at first base, but the fact that they still haven't done it yet kind of tells me that, I mean, it's not going to happen. It can't be on the 40 man, right?
I don't think he is, and I'm trying to get the confirmation on that.
I mean, 32 homers, a lot of RBI at Reno.
Not
strikeout
on the
rate's
40
fine.
Man. Who are you going to shift from 15 to 16?
He can play outfield. But they'd rather use Daniel Descalso. I just don't think. I don't think.
Does
think
he play outfield well? He's the guy who, in fairness to him, he was blocked by Chris Davis. So I understand that there wasn't an opportunity.
He wasn't really blocked by Chris Davis. They have a DH spot in Baltimore. Chris
right.
Davis can play outfield. Walker can play outfield. I mean, they're playing Trey Mancini in the outfield. He's a first baseman. So he wasn't blocked.
Exactly.
I don't buy that.
Mancini is exactly the point to make about Walker.
They decided that Mancini was better and younger.
Places. Yeah.
Right. I mean, Walker, I'm not saying he's never going to make it in the majors, but I don't think it's going to be this year, so I wouldn't waste time on him.
I'm not sure that it will be at any point. He's 26 years old already. He's been in AAA since 2014.
All right, what's next?
26 years old. He's just a kid. All right, Blake wants to know.
Older than me.
Older than me. No, he's not. I'm older than him. That makes me happy, so I'm like him. I'm pro Christian Walker then. Blake wants to know, Elvis Andrews, top five shortstop next year.
Wow, what a year. Right?
Yeah, about time, right?
Finally I was going to write power. About him the other day, and then something happened. J.D. Martinez hit 10 homers or something. I think there's only... How many 2020 guys are there? Is he the third? Trout Altuve? Let me check.
Good question.
There's not too many right now. Broxton still hasn't gotten that last homer. But, yeah, Altuve's there, and Andrus is there, and Trout. So only three. Broxton needs one more stolen base. Tommy Pham. You realize Tommy Pham is one homer and one steal from 2020. Brett Gardner's close. Yeah. Benintendi is close.
Benintendi's close. Huh.
19 and 18. Will Myers can get there. Goldschmidt can still get there. So that's kind of interesting. 2020 guy. I didn't, you know. I mean, Elvis Anderson never even hit double digits in home runs in a season, had he? So this is just a fantastic thing for him. I mean, yeah, we ripped him for years because he wasn't worth it, but now he is.
Now, there's one you can tell me that I was always much more fond of than you were, and I was wrong for so long. And what did he do this year? In addition to shaving, well, keeping the ground ball rate where it was, which was shaving some of it off of where it was in the 2012-2014 range, he's added hard contact. He's added nearly 4%. It's a nice little bump by him.
This is a fantastic season. 20 homers, 24 steals. So the steals never actually went up. The reason why I kept ripping him is because he wasn't stealing 40 bases. He was stealing 25. And he wasn't even leading off the past couple of years. But now this is just an unbelievable power surge. Mm-hmm. And I don't see any reason to expect it to go back down. So
Do you think he's 20-plus next year? Would you write that in ink?
No. But
I think it's got to be an ink.
Yeah, I mean, like, this isn't like Eduardo Nunez, right? This is a guy who could, we think, can keep this going.
Right, if we're looking at 15 and 25 are
that's
in
valuable.
The bank. Yeah, that's
a fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick?
It's what we're treating Francisco Lindor as, you know, at this point in his
career.
Is this good, but...
Is he a third-round pick? He's right now the number 11 player on the player radar. Number 11. He's ahead of Jose Ramirez. He's ahead of Trout, who missed time, granted. He's ahead of Arenado.
I personally prefer Jose Ramirez to him, but that's awfully close. The only reason I hesitate on Andrews is that he is going to hit his 30th birthday next August, and that is around the time
That's it. Kick him to the curb. He's done. He's a running back.
With stolen bases, they're very often around that period of your career, you start to see a small downturn.
Really? You're going to go the age on Elvis Andrews? Last 4 years, 27, 25, 24, and 24 steals. That's consistency.
Run the numbers, and at age 30, around that point,
all right,
give or take a year in either direction, you occasionally see a downturn. And I'll buy Andrews next year. Isn't it conceivable he doesn't get beyond 20 steals?
Yeah, I can see that. He might just not care about running anymore.
Always an option, but can he do other things well? Hitting 304 this year, that's pretty impressive.
The most important thing here is, would Elvis Andrews take Tyler Chatwood to be his pitcher?
100%. He looks like a very intelligent guy, and he just had a birthday. What better way to celebrate than have Chatwood as your DFS play on the road on Sunday?
My goodness.
If only it was on ESPN. No.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
Eric, I know you've got some ties. You've been here a little while. I'm sure you got the kind of clout to make that happen.
I just got here. What else?
You just got here? All right. We've got devoted listener here, A's fan on Twitter. He's got Machado and Trey Turner. Wants to know if they're worth keeping for his first and second overall pick. Basically, are they both top 20 guys?
Yeah, I would say they are. Machado's going to end up, I think, in the 10 to 12 range, and Turner's probably going to be back in the 15 to 20 range, right? Overall? Or have I got that wrong?
No, I think you've got him. I mean, we can move either guy around five spots one direction or the other, but I think there's no question they're both in the first.
I mean, Machado isn't running, okay, but the power is so safe, and shortstop eligibility is gone, so it's just third base. With Turner, like, this wasn't him being brittle. He got hit by a pitch. But the amount of stolen bases he's had in these two half seasons, 33 last year in 73 games, 38 this year in 77 games. I mean, he projects as a 60 steal guy with power, with batting average, with on-base skills. Turner's a second-round pick.
And Trey Turner is 24 years old to turn 25 next year. And at 25, there's nothing in the data that says fear the decline.
So he's got 5 years
bases
before he just stops stealing bases.
But it does not happen on your 30th birthday. So, you know, I mean.
That's what happens.
I could have 3.5 years to worry, or I could have 7 years to worry.
Don't tell Frank Gore. Yes.
Frank Gore would be stealing 50 bases in the majors, no doubt. They can put him at the top of the Reds lineup, no problem. How many shares do you have of Frank Gore this year?
Zero.
Wow!
I don't know if I have any.
Wow!
Stay away.
I don't have that many teams. I like, some of my leagues just kind of fell apart, and then nobody at ESPN invited me to any. I have very few teams, under five. The only guy I seem to have on, like, multiple teams is Zach Ertz.
What do you have the most shares of?
Big week one Ertz. For Ertz.
I only have a couple teams, which is nice. I'm going to enjoy this year.
Kyle, who's your max share guy?
I think I have Terrell Pryor and Doug Baldwin in 90% of the leagues.
I like
How many leagues do you have?
Far too many. 90% would be a big number of leagues.
90 out of 100.
You have like 15 leagues that you care about.
70 leagues.
It's somewhere in, before I got here, there were a lot of kind of traditional leagues I've stayed in, and they've, too many leagues.
You own every player in the NFL, don't you?
No, because I like my guys. I end up, all my rosters look the same because they're all 10 to 12 man leagues. It's all the same.
You have the common players, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, my max shares is Pittsburgh Steelers kicker Chris Boswell.
Well, I'm sure that'll go well.
He is very good.
I'm all on board
because I
with
do
Frank
not
Gore.
Pay for kickers.
all on board Frank Gore. It's 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns.
So
thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under. Even Tyler Chat would take the under on that. Come on.
Wow.
Yeah, he would.
10 touchdowns.
More wins next year.
Chatwood.
Chatwood versus Gore touchdown.
Chatwood. Touchdowns. Chatwood easy. He doubles them.
I'll even take Chatwood there.
Yes. All right, we got a question for baseball. I know we still talk about that on occasion. Matthew, not the Matthew that does football, but Matthew from Twitter has four guys he wants you to rank for the head-to-head playoffs, all kind of similar and a little underwhelming. I'll read them slow so you can remember them. We've got Kron, Headley, Maurer, or Alonso. Rank them 1 to 4.
Kron, Headley, Maurer, Alonso. Maurer seems like the one hitting the most of late without looking. Kron's been hitting for power. Kron batted cleanup the other day. That manager, man, he's been there forever. I'll just do whatever I want with my rotation, my bullpen, with my lineups.
There's a worse manager when it comes to deciphering lineups.
They're all worse.
No, Mr. Dartboard in St. Louis.
No, I mean, like, they're all bad. Like, none of them have an idea what they're doing with, like, on-base percentage and, like using your closer in the right spots. I would say Maurer, Kron, Headley, Alonso. Alonso just isn't hitting anymore.
Wow, Kron is on a tear in the past 30
days. He's been hitting for power. But Maurer is safer than average, and, like, it's 3 weeks. If Kron hits 4 home runs, Maurer could hit 2. I don't know. I mean, like, do you disagree?
I think it's Kron, Maurer, Headley, Alonso.
Fair enough.
I'm with you on Kron there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Kron's breaking out. I mean, like, would you take Kron over Cabrera the final 3 weeks? Kyle would. I might.
I mean, given the choice between the two lineups, driving runs and RBI, yeah, got to give it to the Angels.
16 runs better than in the last 2 weeks, last fortnight. How about that?
Fortnite. By the way, I do hear that Matthew is on Twitter, so that could conceivably have been.
I haven't noticed.
Could have been. Talked to him this morning.
Does he have a show?
Wasn't too worried about
baseball.
That's the
filthy rumor I've heard.
Yeah, no, he is on Twitter. He's part of the Twitterverse.
ESPN Fantasy Twitter. That's it. That's all I tweet out now. Nobody else employed. Just that guy. Which is fine. The show's doing well, right, Kyle?
Yeah, good first start. They're finally getting their time slot back.
Yeah, they've been all over the place.
Oh, my God. It's been brutal with things going on. But, they should be up and running.
And the podcast is doing well, I assume?
Podcast, lots of fun. We got a live show.
Yeah, you had what, Boston, was it?
We had Boston. We got New York on Tuesday, September 26th. We'll be in New York City.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Hey, it's Grostad's birthday.
Famous.
I'll send him and celebrate.
Whose birthday?
Grostad. He can't make up these. He makes up these names. He's got wife of stat, bro of stat. It's just very strange.
Well, if you're a family, you all
gotta
have
love for Grostad.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, but I don't know. Kind of a violation a little bit.
All right, fine.
Last question. We got a dynasty question from Steven.
Finally.
Wants to know, who's your top dynasty player? Swanson, Albies, Torres, or Senzel?
Senzel.
I still take Swanson over Albies. Okay, even though Swanson's not had a good year. Swanson's actually been pretty good over the past month. He's taking walks. I mean, they've just got three guys to bat in the top two in the lineup next year in Atlanta, so that's going to be really interesting to me because Inciardi is a really good leadoff hitter, and now he's developed power. But it's either Albies or Swanson batting second. They'll probably have Albies because he's got speed, and Swanson will bat sixth, which is a little bit of a shame because I think Swanson's still the better hitter. With Senzel, he's the Cincinnati third baseman who the Phillies should have taken first in the draft, but he went second. And there's a rumor that he's going to move to second base. Good power, good bat skills. I'm still taking Swanson. Is it wrong to still take Swanson here?
No, it's not.
I think Parks and Rec whenever I think Swanson.
We're missing the third name out of this one. I'm Albie, Swanson, Senzel, and who's the fourth?
Torres.
Who's Torres?
Gleyber Torres.
Oh, Gleyber, who didn't even play.
See, Torres has an advantage over Senzel in that I'm almost certain Torres will arrive in the majors first, but it might not be by...
He does not make the team out of spring training, though.
Oh, Torres? I think there's a good chance he will.
Really? Playing where?
Third.
Huh. Well, they do have an opening.
Frazier's a free agent. Headley, I believe, is another year on the deal, but Headley's now shaping up as more of a role player.
I bet Torres starts in AAA and doesn't come up till June. He just missed most
possible.
Of this year.
Entirely possible.
By the way, guys, I got some interesting facts for you here from the folks at Gillette. Did you know the tip of a Gillette razor blade is measured on an atomic scale, meaning their blade edges are thinner than a single brain cell? And that precision is the work of many brain cells. The hundreds of members of Gillette's research and development team have spent more than 4,700 years combined working to make your shave closer and more comfortable. That's longer than the Egyptian pyramids have been around. And while more than 1,000 craftsmen and women in Boston are busy making your blades, another team is putting your blades through more than 60 extremely strict and precise quality checks. Fail just one of these tests, and it doesn't leave the factory. In other words, the hardworking people at Gillette never stop working to make your blades better. And now that includes the price tag. You can get Gillette blades at their lowest prices in years. See for yourself at GilletteOnDemand.com. Gillette, the best a man can get. Pricing applies to select products and is at the sole discretion of the retailer. All right, well, sole discretion of Robbie. We're just about done on today's show. Any final thoughts, Tristan, you have for the weekend?
What kind of days do we have going on?
So we got games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Next show for us,
not
I believe, is Monday.
Games? I'm talking, what day is it today?
You know, I've been actually pleased on Twitter. I mean, a lot of baseball fans still playing, still need advice, still looking for information. I mean, obviously, football is king, and nobody's going to deny that. But if you're in a playoff race in your fantasy baseball league, and you and I and Kyle and Leo, we all still are, I'm checking every day now and seeing it's very interesting. Like, I can't remember a season with like where me and one other team like basically tied for like 2 months, and it's going to come down to the last day again, and I don't know what's going to happen, and there's not much left I can do, like, or him. It's really kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
And if I lose, I'm not going to even be upset if I lose, because I like, you know, the guy who's in first or who's like tied with me. But and then your league in labor, and you still have a shot in tout, don't you?
No chance in tout. I have a chance in labor, but I did not have the best of weeks. But I do have my pitching lined up for it, so we'll see how that goes. Forecaster got updated for this week that we're currently in, and I'm going to keep that updated for you because I know the pitching changes are crazy. I teased what the days were because it's National Beer Lovers Day today, but much more importantly, it's National Stand Up to Cancer Day tomorrow.
Yes, please stand up to cancer. And for our friends in Southern Florida, good luck. It's a shame weather, you know, when Mother Nature takes over, it moved a football game, which is the least of the problems. Peaceful, please, on Twitter, figure out the priorities here, but we hope that everybody stays safe. And
a lot of friends down there, and yes, please stay safe, and we're
evacuate. They tell you to evacuate,
yes.
Just evacuate.
Absolutely.
Please, do the right thing. All right, I guess that's it for today's show and for the week in our Fantasy Focused Baseball Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Get your baseball lineups in and your football lineups as well. And don't forget, Fantasy Basketball on ESPN is starting up soon. I've even got a mock draft scheduled for next week, and I can't wait. Sixers going all the way this year. That is it for Tristan and Kyle the Monster and Tyler Chatwood and Robbie A. and Leo. I am Eric. Have an awesome weekend.
Everything is awesome. Vince Carter.